Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
It's your Daily Dose of Donna. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, April 17th. We have made it to the middle of the week. You know that means we're just at the tip of the iceberg. We're going down from here, but down means good in this sense. Sometimes down does mean good. We have a big show today. We're going to talk all about VPR in the Valley and how I guess it's impossible to be a good mom if you like to have a fun girls' night. We're going to talk about a potential Scientologist joining the Real Housewives of New York and some other stories about former Real Housewives going at it. But are they really going at each other, or are they just going at those damn bots? All on today's Daily Dose of Donna. What a day already. What a day. Well, it's a gorgeous, warm day here in Los Angeles, hence the sleeveless situation. I can't even explain to you how happy I am that we're coming up on the spring summer days. I did my workout this morning. It was called The Gun Show. I love, love, love lifting weights, but I did post a TikTok about my carpal tunnel. So if you're struggling with carpal tunnel, numbness in your hands, hit me up. That's my new world right now is just dealing with getting old. Although I have had carpal tunnel in the past before. Thank you so much for subscribing. We finally hit 14.7 thousand subscribers on YouTube and it just keeps growing. Thank you so much for subscribing and liking this video. It means the world for anyone that is out there trying to be but podcasting and creating content on a daily basis, especially. It's so really honestly, you put your entire like world towards it. It takes so much of your energy and time. It's my job, so I'm okay with it. And I actually love what I do. But it's really nice to see that more people are reaching more people. So I love every time I have new subscribers. Thank you so much for coming on over and saying hi. Okay, you guys, the comments are so fun. I did my hair a little different today. So maybe it was a TikTok I saw. You know those like beach wavers? They look like it's essentially a straightener or a hair iron, except it has three barrels in it. So it gives you this like beach wave. And I remembered that at some point during the pandemic when I was going through, you know, crises and I was dyeing my hair pink and doing all the crazy things back then. You didn't know me in 2020. I ended up buying one of these guys. So I pulled it out of the cabinet and I used it this morning. And now I feel like I'm ready to go to the beach, but I'm not going to the beach. I'm not. I'm staying here in the Valley with all those Valley peeps. We're going to get into that later. All right. Just a reminder, Patreon this week will be good. It will be good as gold, as Sheena says. We're going to talk about Sydney Sweeney and what a very famous Hollywood producer said about her that was so effed and so wrong. There was a story about Lauren Sanchez and a restaurateur. Lauren Sanchez is Jeff Bezos's wife, girlfriend, maybe fiance. And there was a story that I thought was interesting, but it's like a Patreon story because it's not my normal content. We're going to talk about some rumors about Miss Lindsay Hubbard that are floating. And we're going to be talking about the sad passing of TikToker Kyle Marissa Roth, in addition to some other stuff on Patreon this week. So make sure to join Patreon. You can go over and do that for $5 a month at the lower tier. Okay. On to business. Billy is asking, do you really live in the Valley? Is it that hot? So I do live in the Valley. I live in Sherman Oaks, which if you know the Valley, it's kind of like smack in the middle of, it's where like all those people that you see on Vanderpump Rules in the Valley, they, most of them live in Studio City in Sherman Oaks because it's the most central. We're, you know, right off the 101. It would take me about, I mean, it all depends on traffic, but like 15 minutes to get to Hollywood. We're right by Laurel Canyon and Coldwater Canyon. These are two canyons that you can take over the hill to get to Beverly Hills. And then there's, of course, more West Valley, which is like Encino, Tarzana, and then you go even deeper into like Woodland Hills and Calabasas. And it gets hotter out there. It gets hotter more west. Where we are, it's like definitely hotter than in the city. But right now it's not that hot. I mean, today is going to be like high 80s, but in the like August, September months, it will hit over 100, no problem. Like it's really not bad. But right now is the best part of the year. I love these days. Okay, let's get into some of the stories. Crystal and Anna Marie. So this was a weird, weird situation yesterday. I saw on a Instagram account, someone had tweeted, not tweeted, in like a screenshot, a tweet that Crystal Minkoff allegedly wrote about, what's it called, about Anna Marie. And it was pretty crazy. I don't really know if I even want to read out loud what it was because it wasn't a real tweet. It was actually a fake tweet. It was a, what's it called? Like a fan account of Crystal's. And so, you know, Crystal wrote, Crystal had nothing to do with this tweet, but it was basically pointed at Anna Marie's husband and like the stories about the husband. Now, if you remember, and you may not because they never really focused on it at all, is that her husband has some crazy stories, right? He has some stories out there about people, about a woman accusing him of R. I have to be very careful about what I say here on YouTube. And you know, going after her. I mean, Crystal, apparently this fake account went after her. So I reposted it because I saw it on an Instagram account. And I don't know. I'm not like checking Instagram, Twitter accounts. Is there an S there? Is there not? I just trust these Instagram accounts. If they're posting about it, like it's going to happen, you know? And I'm going to try to find the exact post to see if they even like retracted it. Okay. So here it is. It was all about TRH, and it was from an account called Crystals Minkoff, meaning C-R-Y-S-T-A-L-S Minkoff. I'll show it to you guys. I think if I don't really necessarily read it, I can say it, or I can show it to you guys. And this is what it said, okay? It's a fake account, but no one immediately recognized this immediately, right? So this says, worry about your transphobic R husband, okay? Then Anna Marie gets wind of this and doesn't check to see if it is actually real or not, and then posts this towards using Crystal's real account, but it's not, she wasn't the person that actually said it, saying, false allegations against athletes are easy. Anyone with actual money knows that. With a rolling, what's it called? Like a rolling your eyes emoji. You worry about your husband, the lying king. Get it? Lion, lying king, and your brother for that matter. Oh, and that video of you blurting out the N-word getting out. Fake, woke, racist. Okay. It's pretty, pretty low, right? This is the real Anna Marie. She officially wrote this. And what's crazy is she took like a fake account and started fighting against it, but then started to actually reveal what her real feelings are about Crystal's husband and brother. And here's the thing. Okay, so Let's talk about Rob Minkoff. I don't know a lot about him. Like I told you, I've met him one time. He's a really nice guy from what I know. I've never heard horrible things about him. He directed The Lion King. Everyone knows that. For her to say The Lying King makes me think there's obviously something else going on there. I don't know. I don't really care. It seems like a really deep thing or kind of pointless thing because they're both not housewives anymore. It's like, take it off social media. Then she says, and your brother with a crossed fingers and a snowflake for that matter. So I'm trying to figure out what that means. Someone says, what's the snowflake emoji for? Is it the pasta, which would mean cocaine? And Sheena basically confirmed it. What are people saying? Like, I don't know. Can someone tell me in this, you know, right now in the comments, in the chat, someone tell me what cross fingers and a snowflake would mean? Cross fingers, snowflake. I don't know. A lot of you guys were, believe it's probably the pasta. I don't know. When I say the pasta, I mean the kind of pasta that Jax likes to eat. Check Friday's show. We talk about it. I don't know. I have no idea. But it feels like a low blow. I don't think Crystal has responded at all. She's not someone that I don't think she tweets a lot. But let's see if she's posted anything on her stories or anything. I just know that – oh, she's just posting like a girls' night. Yeah, she's just like staying out of it, which is smart. Okay. Anyway, that's pretty embarrassing for Anna Maria, I'm just going to say. And honestly, Andrew says it's a winter gay. What does that mean, a winter gay? Wait, is this real? Andrew, be honest. Like, I need to know. Cross fingers, snowflake. What does it mean? The snowflake would immediately signify, like, to me, I immediately thought drugs. Winter gay is too funny for me. Like, he's only a gay during the winter and then he's engaged. Okay. Well, we're just trying to decipher emoji speak. That's what you do when you turn 43. You just start to decipher. Like, that's all you spend your days trying to figure out what emojis mean. Either way, I'm done. Like, I'm done with it and I'm over it. Who cares, right? Who cares? Let's get into Rebecca Minkoff. So Rebecca Minkoff is a fashion designer. You most likely have had something or have seen something in the past of her clothing. She has one of the most like famous purses. I mean, I feel like everyone that I know, at least growing up here in Beverly Hills, when I Google Rebecca Minkoff, the first thing that comes up are all of these, you know, purses that you recognize. If you live in Los Angeles, if you're in any big city, you know her vibe, you know, kind of like her purses, right? This is kind of what we got. They're cute. I have to say they're really cute. I actually like Rebecca Minkoff. Now, Rebecca Minkoff has been rumored. I don't think it's actually confirmed from what I'm seeing, but it's been rumored that she is now joining the cast of Real Housewives of New York City season 15. It's on Deadline. And Deadline to me, if you guys know Deadline, Deadline is like an industry-specific website. It's where – it's like the trades, like Backstage or Hollywood Reporter or Variety. So it says Rebecca Minkoff is joining The Real Housewives of New York City season 15. A source close to production says a fashion designer has been filming with the cast for the new season in an unspecified role. So that means we don't know, is she going to be a friend? Is she going to be a series regular? I believe that she'll probably just have some sort of connection to Jenna Lyons. Am I crazy to believe that the fashion, like the fashion girlies are going to hang out together? I think that what's interesting is that we got rid of Crystal Minkoff and then we got Rebecca Minkoff. It's like there must be a Minkoff on the Housewives cast. I think she's probably friendly with Jenna Lyons. Like, that's just my guess. We don't know what her role is. Now, Rebecca Minkoff co-founded with her brother Uri, it's a Jewish name, Minkoff, the Rebecca Minkoff brand, which specializes in luxury handbags, accessories, and apparel. And in 2018, she established the Female Founder Collective, a network of women-led businesses that invest in women's financial power and empowers female-owned businesses. That's how I kind of know her. I was on this app a few years ago called Clubhouse, if you guys know it. It was in 2021. it was like, you know, pandemic times. And that's how I know a lot of you. And so I got on the phone with, I was in a Clubhouse room with her. Like, we were on the same panel for female entrepreneurs. She always seemed really nice. I have no like negative anything to say about her. But it says the designer is no stranger to Bravo because she's been a guest judge on Project Runway through the years and on E's So Cosmo and Lifetime's Project Runway. That's all we really know about her role on the show. But a lot of you smarties immediately went over and said, uh-oh, I think that we are hiring a Scientologist on Real Housewives of New York. What do you say? You're telling me that Rebecca Minkoff is a Scientologist? And sure enough, she is. Now, you know my feelings on Scientology if you've been watching the show for a long time. I am adamantly against it. I think it's a really, really scary cult. I think it's a cult. I've watched so many of the documentaries over the years. I had Aaron Smith-Levin, who has a huge Scientology YouTube account, like exposing Scientology. I had him as a guest on the show. I really, really feel strongly that Scientologists is bad news bears. I have personal friends who have left Scientology, so I've heard stories. It ain't good. But Rebecca Minkoff in the past has talked openly about being a Scientologist. It says, This article on Us Weekly says, will Minkoff's beliefs as a Scientologist play a role in season 15? A source close to production told Us Weekly that Minkoff has been shooting with some of the ladies for the upcoming season in an unspecified role. However much of her fans end up seeing the season, viewers should not expect her to shy away from her religion, which I will be shocked over. As she told the New York Times in a 2021 profile, I am totally open, but it's not my job to proselytize. I want to say that right. Her relationship to Scientology is her own, and as the profile highlighted, she identifies as both Jewish and a Scientologist, which I don't think is possible. I mean, unless Scientology is not a religion, which it's not. Scientology is not a religion, it's a cult. So I guess you can be Jewish and Scientologist, but like I can't imagine Rebecca Minkoff hanging out in this Church of Scientology, like wanting to like practice, create a Seder. There's no way that she's like lighting Shabbat candles, you know, with Elizabeth Moss. That reminds me, I didn't tell you guys, I said it on the Facebook group, how I saw Ashton Kutcher the other day. I was losing my mind over it because we haven't seen anything of him like really publicly since the P. Diddy and the Danny Masterson stuff. Crazy. He refers to the church, Rebecca Minkoff, as more of a self-improvement philosophy. She says, I think there's a lot of confusion when people hear the word religion. Yeah, because a religion is not like a place you go to hang out and spend your money. Well, I guess in some places it is. Immediately that you hear, when you hear the word religion, you hear that I pray to L. Ron Hubbard, she says. I study it, I take classes, and that's the extent of it. And it's helped me stay centered. I don't have all the answers, she says. When I needed someone, it was a place for me to go and get some answers. She then went deeper on her beliefs in an appearance on the Dinner Party with Jeremy Fall podcast in October 2021. Never heard of Jeremy Fall, so I don't know the podcast, but it says that she said Scientology, with the word, which the word itself means knowledge. That's all it means. That's like saying, I believe in terrorism. I don't study it. I mean, I'm not a terrorist, but I study terrorism constantly. And I go there to get answers. Like what is happening? Then she says, I'm Jewish, so I have my beliefs with Judaism and God, and I go to Scientology to learn knowledge. Well, Scientology is not a school. Like, it's a cult. Then she says, and that's spiritual because I'm not working out my abs. What? And that's spiritual because I'm not working out my abs? Huh? We're just separating the body from the spirit. It has personally helped me from my own demons, my own things that I'm not happy about myself. She went on to try and discredit critics of Scientology, whom she believes are pushing misinformation. Yes, it's us. We're the ones pushing misinformation. Those same critics call Scientology a cult and point to the role Minkoff's father, also a Scientologist, might have played in the 1995 death of Scientology, Scientologist Lisa McPherson. This is really interesting. So McPherson was a Scientologist when she got into a minor traffic accident. The church convinced her not to seek medical attention because you know that this is like part of it. This Church of Scientology is very anti getting extra, you know, outer help when it comes to medical care or, you know, police. Like they're always like, we can handle it here, which is why I believe, I mean, this is just my podcast. It's just my opinion, but I believe Kelly Presley and like a lot of these other Scientologists who are dying of cancer, Kirstie Alley, it's like, are they going and getting treatment? No, none of them are getting chemo. None of them are actually like going to a traditional doctor. They're just taking like extra vitamins and sitting in saunas or whatever they do at Scientology. She instead spent, this Lisa McPherson woman got in this minor traffic accident. She wanted to go to a hospital. They convinced her not to. She spent 17 days in the care of the church until her death. Her father, David Minkoff, so Rebecca Minkoff's father, was the doctor who pronounced her dead, this Lisa McPherson. That's pretty crazy. She says, I've been around it and in it for the better part of 20 years, and I've never seen anything kooky or weird or anything, except a bunch of nice people who go out of their way to help others in need. That feels like us trying to defend Jeff Lewis fans. It's like people trying to defend Jeff Lewis live chumps and Juicy Scoopers. No, I've never seen anything weird. They're just nice people. If you know, you know, and you'll laugh alongside me with that one, because that is like the funniest thing when people are like, I don't get it. Everyone's so nice. Then it says, you know, she's basically saying that she's never seen anything weird. A few bad actors should not define Scientology as a whole, which is true. I think that about everything. She says, you can't take a bad person and equate it with the original tenets. There's no such thing as an alien. We don't believe in all the effing crazy stuff. The aliens are going to come, whatever. Okay. Now, this was in 2021. The New York Times article was in 2021. I want to know, and I have not seen, and you guys are the ones that are like really good at the research. I have not seen if she is currently speaking about Scientology, if she's currently practicing Scientology openly. Is she still being the face of Scientology since 2021? Because a lot has changed since 2021. Not, you know, obviously 2021, Leah Remini was already doing her documentary. She was already writing her books. Like she was already out there. She had her show and everything. But I just still think there's so much more information that has come out with the Danny Masterson, et cetera. So I'd be interested to know if she still subscribes to it heavily. Here's the thing. Bravo should not have done this if she's a Scientologist. If she is a current practicing Scientologist, that would be insane for Bravo to go on and like promote in any way, unless like she was planning on going. What I would be interested in is that if she has left Scientology, if she has escaped Scientology and now she's going on Real Housewives to talk about it, like that to me would be super interesting. But if she goes on there and talks about the fact that Scientology is like a normal thing, and then on one of the, you know, group events, they end up going to Clearwater, Florida to, you know, go on some sort of seminar because it's just knowledge and learning, I'm out of here. So I'd be very interested to know if she's currently a practicing Scientologist. The way I feel that these things work is if your parents are, and your parents are heavily dedicated to it and heavily into it, so will you be. Like, that's just kind of how I feel like it is. Now, if she's just going to show up in an episode or two as a friend of Jenna Lyons and they don't talk about her, you know, religion or anything, then big whoop. But if she's a series regular, if she's holding an apple, which I highly doubt, they have a huge cast already. I don't see them needing to add anyone. Like they brought back all of the original cast. So for them to add someone seems a little strange, but if she's just a friend of, I don't think it would be that big of a deal. Mark says something that I want to talk about. I've been wanting to talk about forever is the Elizabeth Moss being in Scientology. This is the most bananas thing ever. Mark says, I will never get over Elizabeth Moss playing one victimized by a cult while being in one. It blows my mind. So Elizabeth Moss, for those of you that don't recognize her name right off the bat, she's the star of The Handmaid's Tale. And then, of course, she was in Mad Men. I mean, that show. What was her name on Mad Men? Was it Peggy? Like, I can't remember off the top of my head. That show, Mad Men. I mean, I was so obsessed with Mad Men. I'll never forget. I was working on a show, casting a show over downtown, in the same building that they shot Mad Men. And it's a very like mid-century modern old studio in downtown LA. And my offices were just a couple floors above from the Mad Men production offices, but it's also where they filmed like the lobby of their advertising agency. And because it all looked like that. So I would just walk through the hallways and walk around the area and be like, oh my gosh, I'm in Mad Men. It was so cool. And then I would walk by table reads and see John Hamm. And the way I love John Hamm, you don't even understand, like obsessed with John Hamm. That was so fun. Those were good times. Mad Men were some of my favorite like TV watching times. We'd have get-togethers. We'd have parties. We'd all make martinis. I always just remember when John Hamm would have his little daughter, Kiernan Shipka, who's also friends. Wait, this is so like all of a sudden I'm thinking Kiernan Shipka is friends with John Mayer, or like hooking up with John Mayer on and off for years. We don't really understand their relationship. This is John Hamm's daughter on Mad Men. John Mayer is besties with Andy Cohen. Elizabeth Moss has been on Watch What Happens Live. Maybe Andy Cohen is a Scientologist and we never knew. Maybe. You guys don't know, right? We don't know. We'll have to see. Anyway, I thought that was a pretty interesting story. I'm very curious to see how it goes on. And I'm actually kind of like interested if they do talk about Scientology, just because I want to tear it apart. Let's move on. Last night, we had quite the night of TV. And I'll be 100% honest with you, I totally forgot about it. Yes, I did watch VPR. Yes, I did watch The Valley, but I completely forgot about it last night. Lance went out to a movie premiere and I was home with the kids and we were doing our own thing. Like I was finishing my puzzle and doing laundry and cooking and cleaning. And then it was time for bed and we watched some Full House together because that's our new routine. And then it was like 9 o'clock and I was thinking to myself, nothing's on TV. I guess I'll keep watching Below Deck, which I'm obsessed with. And at 9:45, I open up Instagram and I'm like, huh? Oh my God. VPR and The Valley were on tonight. Fully forgot. Now, I think in my mind, I thought it was Wednesday. Now tonight, but this morning I did watch both. So I am fresh with VPR and Valley content for you guys. Okay. Vanderpump Rules, both were very good. I actually think. I mean, Vanderpump Rules is just icky for me to watch these days. It's just hard for me to watch. I don't know. I'm just like done. But I found it really, really like still pretty good this last episode. James, I hate to say it, but James has become the voice of reason in these episodes. The beginning of the episodes were just going back and forth between the girls doing this good and gold, good as gold. Sheena. So Sheena's song, Good as Gold, which I can't get out of my head. I mean, that would be the one song that I think actually is the biggest Bravo bop. I mean, there are some really good ones. Don't Be Tardy for the Part. And then Luann's. But Sheena's bop is like always in my head. It's constantly in my head. So she decides that she wants to do a music video at Kyle Chan's jewelry store. This is all very interesting to me. Ariana and Lala are in the music video, which I find even more interesting considering the fact that like Ariana, like Kyle Chan and Tom Sandoval are besties until the end now. And it feels very strange that Ariana is like hanging out there. I don't know. But you know, she's a good friend to Sheena. And of course she's gonna go and be in the music video. And she's also getting paid. Don't you think they're getting paid? There's no way that Lala and Ariana are doing that without getting paid, in my opinion. I just can't imagine. So they go to, you know, this good as gold thing. Katie Maloney was supposed to be there, but she called in sick because they're thinking that she just wants to avoid seeing Lala. I don't believe that. I don't think it was that big of a fight between her and Lala, but, you know, they have to make an episode out of it. So they end up going to, at this event, they're talking about the fact that Lala is having the sperm party. You know, this is kind of Lala's storyline this season, and she wants to throw it at Ariana's house. And Ariana says, we can't, our house is a hot mess. And sure enough, you know, she ends up actually going to Lisa Vanderpump and asking her, which Lisa says, yes, for some reason, this all feels fake. It's so, the whole story of it, it's like, it's all such a produced situation because we want to talk about the fact that Ariana's house is a mess. We want to talk about that because we need the scene of Sheena and Brock coming to help Ariana clean it out later. We want her to have to go to Ariana, ask her to use her house, find out she can't, and then have to go to Lisa, which happens to be that they have this beautiful party, please. Like Lala would have hired all these people, hired the catering, hired everything without having a place for the party the next day or whenever it was. It feels like a lot. It feels a lot. So, you know, meanwhile, they have this brunch situation. They're talking, oh no, the first thing is the setup that they're having between, the girls at the Good as Gold music video, and then Ali Bali and James talking about Raquel, Rachel's podcast with Bethany. Now, I'm trying to remember what month this was. It was in August. I want to say it was definitely in August. I remember this morning very well. I went out to lunch or breakfast with my friend Aliza Rosen. She's a dozer. She listens. And I truly... I can't even explain to you how wild this week was. And I'm not on Vanderpump Rules. Like, I'm not talent. I'm just a podcaster that talks about these things. But when I woke up that morning and remember Bethany didn't give us a hint that she was going to have Rachel on the show, has no idea whatsoever that we have no idea Rachel's doing Bethany. We all wake up to this and we're like, what the fuck? And it was 3-4 parts of this podcast. So I can only imagine for the cast how crazy it was during that time. Now, something very interesting happened last night, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, and that's Rachel's social media post last night, which is very confusing. But they're all talking about the interview, and they're going back and forth. Notice they didn't say Bethany's name and, you know, just chatting about it. And essentially, Lala and Sheena makes it about herself. Sheena makes this situation about herself 8 times. In this episode, it's crazy how much she does it. You can't have a conversation with Sheena without her bringing it back to herself. And I know that that's kind of like the going shtick, but it's really true. If I was talking to Sheena right now about my carpal tunnel syndrome and my hands, she would 100% say when I had, you know, Summer Moon, I went through the same thing. She wouldn't say, maybe you should go to a doctor. Like, it's always about her. So she's talking about how, you know, she was so upset with what Rachel said because Rachel took advantage of her apartment and didn't pay rent or didn't pay the amount of rent, didn't pay for parking, didn't stock toilet paper. What's up with these people in the stocking? Why are they all so obsessed with stocking, you know, batteries, toilet paper, flashlights, pens? Who cares? Who cares? And Wanda says, I have a beef with you now. Because I was happy Mad Men's tune was playing in my head, but now it's switched to Because We're Good as Gold. Sorry. So Ali Bali and James are all talking about it too. And she's basically saying, you know, she's making you look like you were abusive of Graham, the dog. You are, you know, you were the problem for this and that, whatever. So they're going back and forth. Meanwhile, Lisa Vanderpump has the Toms over at Tom Tom to talk about having a brunch service. I wonder if they're still doing this brunch service. I don't remember ever hearing that this brunch service was actually still happening, but I imagine it probably is. It wouldn't be a bad idea. It's a beautiful location. People in West Hollywood love to day drink. So, you know, first we have the Toms talking at Tom Schwartz's apartment. Tom Schwartz's hair in this scene. I'm just going to show you. This was unreal to me. I'm just going to show you what it looks like because you can't quite imagine that someone would actually, the blonde hair is enough. Like, it's bad enough, but someone look, Do you guys see what's happening here? I wish it was. It's not as focused as I want, but you see, he's got like such a Nick Nolte, Kate Gosselin situation going on, but like make it athletic with a headband. It's odd. So Tom Sandoval is devastated over this podcast. And I get it. I get it because she talks horribly about him. Now, this is a very interesting time because I had no idea, and I wonder if you guys did, how much Tom, I think, loved Raquel. He may have not loved her, or he may have just loved him, like loved the idea of her, or just like this idea of, you know, doing something bad and taboo. But he really, really, I think, cared about her. And that must be so crazy for Ariana to know that there's scenes that Tom is hysterically crying over Raquel, like basically, you know, closing the door on their relationship, but he's not nearly as sad about Ariana. That has got a sting for her. That's gross. I hate watching him pine for Raquel. It's weird. But he's so sad about it because she basically says, I was never in love with him. I, you know, he used me, this and that. We all know what she said. And it was pretty nuts. So he's really upset about it. And I don't know, this could be really because he loved her or because it is the ego. It's an ego thing because meanwhile, you know, it doesn't feel good, I don't think, for anyone to be rejected like in public. He's already been caught cheating, killed online and with his friends, like lost everything he had. And now the one person that he did this with goes and, you know, burns him publicly and has already blocked him. So he has no way of contact. And I imagine ego wise, that's got to be really, really hard. I'm not saying I stand for him or like feel bad for him. I actually don't. I feel bad for him for being such a loser. This episode, more than ever, I was just like, wow, you've really lost me. I don't think anyone out there, I mean, maybe there are some people out there that are super, super Sandoval sympathizers, but I just can't anymore. Like I tried, I wanted to feel bad for him in the first couple of episodes, but now I'm really just done with him. I'm so done. So they go to Tom to talk about this brunch. And that's when Tom Sandoval comes and Lisa's like, you're not going to keep listening to this podcast. Why would you do that? Okay, Lisa, wake up. Like, of course he's going to do that. Sorry, but Lisa, that was ridiculous. She's like, why would you torture yourself, Tom? He's like, I'm going to torture myself, Lisa, because I need to know. I need to know what she's saying about me, dude. But Tom, why would you do this to yourself? She has moved on. She doesn't love you. I need to know, man. Need to hear it. You need to know. Lala, of course, that's when Lala just stops by. Oh my God, I just was with Sheena and Ariana, but they can't have my party. So can you, Lisa? Yeah, sure, let's do it. Are you going to have sperm all over my party? My house. Then we have a scene at Ariana's house with Brock and Sheena coming over. And I'm glad that we finally brought light to this matter that those two cannot. And when I say those two, I mean Ariana and Tom, they cannot keep a clean house. This is not new. This is not like just because of the divorce or the breakup. This is Ariana and Tom. They have always been kind of like just messy and gross. But now at least I know what all these boxes are. She finally described why she has so many boxes, and she really does have so many boxes in her room and now in the living room because she knows she's moving. So she's like, why am I unboxing just to have to rebox? And I kind of understand the theory behind this. I just wonder what's in those boxes. There's a lot of good PR in those boxes. I would like to get a shot to go through Ariana's boxes at some point. That's my guess. Now, Brock and Sheena are trying to help out and, you know, do her a favor and do all the things, which I thought was very sweet and, you know, gave Sheena another scene, which she'll never turn down. Like Sheena, you know, was like, you want me to go and clean? Okay, I don't do it normally, but I guess to be on TV, I'll clean Ariana's house. I think it's a sweet move. Then we go to Tom Sandoval's rehearsal. He's performing at the El Rey, which is a big theater here in Los Angeles, and he's asked James to open for him. Why? No one knows. But he's asked James to open for him. He's wearing a shirt that says Dipped Out. This is not a joke. Tom had merch. I didn't know about it. I don't think anyone else did either. I think they sold a total of one. And the shirt is in red, and it just says Dipped Out, and this is referring to him saying to Lisa Vanderpump last year and lying on the phone, oh, I dipped out. So he and James start talking about this podcast interview too. And James is like, I feel for you, man. I know exactly what it feels like when she goes on podcasts and talks shit about you. But he says to Tom, I don't believe that you guys were ever in love. And Tom's like, dude, no. You used to like massage my feet and give me pedicures. No, he didn't say that. But he says, no, we used to talk like for 5 and 6 hours. And then we would just have sex in between, but we would talk for 5 to 6 hours. I want to know a conversation that like, I would like a transcript of a Sandoval-Raquel conversation. Can you guys imagine? Then, because James said, I don't think you guys were ever in love, Tom tried to hurt James and say, well, she also used to tell me that when she gave you the ultimatum of you stopping to drink, she knew you weren't going to stop to drink, so she knew you were going to break up. And James is like, okay. So like, they're just going back and forth. And I think Tom Sandoval just brings James down. I'm not a huge James fan, to be honest, because I think he is a shady MF-er from everything I've heard, but he does come off the best in this season. He's talking about the fact that Tom Sandoval has always said that he's in love with Ariana. That was true love. You screwed it up. They get into this fight. It turns into like this kind of back and forth war about it. And James says, I don't want to do your show at the El Rey. I have bigger and better things going on. And Sandoval says, well, go and like touch buttons on your laptop. And so they get in a huge fight and then, you know, we move on. Then we're over at the sperm donor party, which to me looked really cute. I mean, it was just basically like a bridal shower type of situation or a baby shower. The girls played pin the sperm on the vagina. I've never wanted to play anything less than pin anything on the vagina. And then, you know, meanwhile, Katie and Ali Bali have a conversation where Ali completely twists words. Is Ali someone that can say whatever she wants and just won't get in trouble because she's nice? She tells Katie that Lala called you miserable. And Lala never said that. That kind of bugged. But she said that Lala said you're miserable and you get upset really easily. I mean, it's kind of true, right? It's kind of true. I feel like it's true. So Katie gets a little offended by this. They end up having this baby shower, this, you know, picking the sperm donor. They're all very happy, very excited. I thought it was kind of cute. I'm very pro Lala going and doing her own thing. I'm not against that at all. But meanwhile, we have literally Dumb and Dumber hanging out over back at the pad at Ariana and Tom's house. And that is Sandy comes over. I mean, Schwartzy comes over to Sandy to talk about, you know, potentially moving in together. Schwartz knows this question is coming and he keeps trying to get Sandoval to stop asking it. Sandoval, you can't take him seriously because he's looking through some sort of kaleidoscope situation. He's laying back. I think he thinks he's on watch. Like he maybe thinks he's on Below Deck and he thinks he's on watch for, you know, upcoming pirate ship or something. He's sitting on this chair with a knife in his leg. Like one of those, you know, wrap around things around your leg. I thought it was like for a shin splint, but apparently it's actually for a knife. It's a knife holder on your leg. For what? In his own, you know, apartment or his own house. I mean, you can't write this shit. And he's holding some sort of like a, he's like, call me captain. He goes to Schwartzy and he says, Schwartz, I want you to move in here. Schwartz says, no, dude, no, man, no. The optics would just look so bad. This guy says the optics would look so bad. I want you to look at the camera right now and look at what this man is saying. This guy cares about optics. It's hysterical. He says, how much? Sandoval goes, 6,000. Schwartz goes, no, man, I can't even imagine paying that much without getting anything in return. Like, I'm not building any, you know, assets here and whatever. I pay 4,500 now, but 6,000, like, no, man, no. So Schwartz is talking to Sandoval about how Sandoval now has decided, I don't know. It's taken 8 weeks for the lawyer to get back to me. I don't know if I want this house anymore. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. So Ariana has now come back to Sandoval, probably with some more of a fair offer, somewhat more of a fair offer. And he's like, I don't really know if this is it. So here's my theory. Okay. My theory is Tom Sandoval truly believed that that home was going to be his love nest with Raquel. When this all went down and Raquel went away to the Arizona treatment center and he was breaking up with Ariana or going through all of this, I truly believe in Sandoval's like warped mind, he was like, I am getting sober for Raquel. I am going to work out and look great and be healthy and happy. She's going to come out of this treatment center. She's going to move back to Los Angeles. Ariana will leave this home. She will move in here. We will have Graham together and get more dogs, and we will get married and have kids. And the second that Raquel decided, like, I'm done with you, Tom, closed that chapter, blocked him, cut that off, and he saw that on Bethany's podcast, he's like, what the fuck am I doing in this house? Why would I keep this house ever? Like, that would be actually insane. Because now he doesn't see, like, the future. He can't live there alone. So now he's pulling out, which is annoying to Ariana because she's like, we could have sold this shit, like, day one, and I could have been out of here. And, yeah, that part really pissed me off. Tom is a big fucking loser, guys. I hate to curse so much, but like he's not doing one thing this entire season that's making me feel in any capacity that he's learned moving forward, like nothing. He sucks. He actually just sucks. Ariana is definitely like 100 million times better than him in the season, in this world. So then, and meanwhile, they're still living at that house. I mean, she's not. I would imagine she's moved out. I think she's in New York still, but I would imagine she's moved out because she bought that new house. So have we seen her move out? Have we seen boxes? Have we seen anything like that? And their house is not on the market, as far as I know. We would know, right? So what's going on there? Let's see. What else happened? I think then we went straight to that brunch. We ended up having that brunch over at Tom, which was interesting because Ariana's there, Tom's there. It's like, why would Ariana go and support Tom? I guess she would do it for Lisa, but that's another moment where I'm like, why is she there? They end up going to this brunch and Lala and Katie have a really honest conversation about the idea of, you know, how their friendship has changed. Lala feels like Katie is all about Ariana. And this is an aspect that I never really thought of, that Lala has felt maybe a little bit of a third wheel or a little jealous of the relationship Katie has with Ariana. I never thought about that. So they have this like really sweet moment and Ariana's so sweet. She reaches out and grabs her hand, which I thought was a nice gesture in that moment. Sheena, of course, makes it about her because she's like, you know, I'm friends with Lala. And when I'm friends with Lala, what I notice about Lala is that she needs, I'm like, shut up. Shut up, Katie. So then we, Tom and Tom are sitting in the other room talking about the house, talking about the podcast, talking about how Tom's life is falling apart. And Sheena comes over there and again makes it about her. She's like, I know, I've gone through a lot too. She literally says, Tom, how's it been for you these last days? It's been a lot for me. She talks about the fact that she just wrote this song, which refers to Tom Sandoval, which makes Tom really, really pissed off and leaves. Tom is triggered by everything. We also had this scene between James and Ali Bali, which was really interesting. And it's making me think James needs to run because this is very reminiscent. When you are dating a woman, he basically talks to Ali Bali about having kids and she's not that interested in having kids. Ali Bali would rather be a dog mom and a cat mom. And I'll tell you something about this. Most of the time, that doesn't change. It's very rare. Ali Bali is a lot younger, but it is very rare that a woman like goes from I'm not interested to having kids to I'm dying to have kids. Most of the time, it's like, okay, I can see myself having a kid, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I always wanted kids. But if James wants to be a dad, this is giving Tom and Ariana, right? This is giving Tom and Ariana again about like not wanting kids. But he basically says, I'm not starting over. I love her. So I'm just going to deal with it. Well, that's resentful. Like later when you're 50 and you're like, I could have had a kid. So I don't love that idea for them. Let's move on to the valley. Yeah. Oh, before I move on to the valley, Raquel Rachel took all these clips from when they're talking about the interview and she interchanged it with the actual interview, meaning she hired an editor. I don't think she did this herself, but she like it feels like she hired an editor to cut clips going back and forth between what they said about her interview on Vanderpump Rules and what she actually said on Vanderpump Rules. I mean, on the interview. And people are questioning this because she had a lot of clips and she clearly did it before the show even finished airing. And so a lot of people are like, is Raquel in with the producers? Like, does Raquel have access to early episodes of Vanderpump Rules? Which would really F with the audience's mind, right? All right, water break because I'm talking a lot. Okay. Now, Melissa says, at one point I didn't want to have kids, but it changed once I met my husband. So I hear this a lot, but Allie is with him. So if you're already with the person that you're supposed to be with the rest of your life and you still don't imagine having kids, isn't that a little concerning? I don't know. To me, it is. All right, let's move over to the valley. So remember at the valley, we've left off with, Kristen Doty trying to kind of like make things good now with Jesse and Michelle, although Michelle can't stand her still. It's very obvious. We find out that Jax is not into having sex with Brittany, but he's into his leaf blower. So maybe Jax is having sex with his leaf blower. Just crazier things have happened. He is an OCD guy. I didn't know this about Jax. Did you guys ever think that Jax was OCD? I had no idea. He talks about the fact that he's a clean freak. OCD, everything needs to be neat, and he uses his leaf blower 7 days a week, multiple times a day. What the fuck? So Brittany is obviously not that way at all because no one marries someone just like them in this case. Don't you guys notice that? I have a little OCD in my world in terms of like how I like things around my house, and Lance is the opposite of that. I think that most couples don't find someone that is exactly the same. It's like almost in a marriage agreement that if one person is obsessive about keeping things clean, the other one has to be like really messy. But it's just going to be a fight because he's going to always say like, why aren't you cleaning up, Brittany? Why aren't you doing enough, Brittany? Why aren't you working out enough? Why aren't you this? Why aren't you that? And that is clearly their dynamic. And it's really rich, as Teddy Mellencamp would say, for Jax to be the one telling anyone how to live their life. So Brittany gets picked up by Janet. Apparently, Brittany's scared to drive. I've heard this from many people, so I'm not judging. But Janet picks her up to go to this gorgeous house by the beach. Janet, by the way, has the cutest pregnant little body. She's got this cute cutout little dress with a bathing suit. They go to this gorgeous house up in Malibu Hills. Nia's friend has a house there. I don't even know why we're there. And all of a sudden, they're getting thrust into art, arts and crafts. Personally, this is my idea of hell. Like, I don't need, if I'm going to have like a girls' weekend, I don't need to do arts and crafts and like glue things. I have a kid. I have two kids, okay? I have two kids, and I've spent enough time gluing things onto pieces of paper for me to look at it as a, like something I want to do when I'm away from my kids. But that's just me. There's a lot of really artsy people out there. It's just not my version of fun. I would prefer to, just like sit and do nothing. Of course, they also have to set their intentions. Let's set our intentions for this event. Everyone's intention is peace. Now, Kristen Doty goes on to quite a tangent about the fact that she's an empath. Okay. I bet Sheena would also call herself an empath. Do you guys know what an empath is? An empath is someone that like literally feels what other people feel, and it can be detrimental to them because if you feel so much of what other people feel, it's hard for you to kind of have your own experience. You're sponging it in, right? You're absorbing everything around you. That's not Kristen Doty. That would mean that Kristen Doty can't be around anyone that's upset, sad, happy, whatever, without like taking in those. What? Weirdest thing ever for Kristen Doty to say that. I'm struggling with Kristen Doty. I'm just going to be honest. When there was a scene between her and Luke talking about how many times they're having sex, I don't want to see that. Cut to the comeback. Remember the comeback? Valerie Cherish. I don't want to see that. I really don't want to see that. Meanwhile, all the guys heading on over with their 30 packs of beer, going on over to Jax's house. There's a couple other guys in the background that we'd never meet. We have no idea who they are. Daniel, my favorite husband of the crew, the number one husband in the group, can't come because his air conditioning's out. And honestly, my air conditioning has been out before. And in the middle of the summer, there is nothing worse in the world. And especially if you have some babies in there too. Oh my God. I'll never forget some of those days. So the guys are hanging out in Jax's pool, drinking beers with their kids, barbecuing, just doing dad things, suburb dad things. And Brittany and Janet and everyone's, they're all talking about life and about relationships. And they end up starting to drink some wine and it's nighttime. And of course they're doing another game because what would a show on The Housewives be without games? But this time they're making it Jenga style, I guess, where they're writing on Jenga blocks. They're pulling out these blocks and they're asking each other very important questions like, tell us about the last sex you've had. So I would like you guys all right now in the chat to tell me about the last sex you've had. I mean, what kind of question is that? We find out that Brittany and Jax have not had sex in a month and a half, and exactly zero people are surprised who are watching the show. But these girls are all very surprised by it. Even Nia, who has three kids, and three of them are on her boob as we speak, is saying, like, you're not having sex more than a month and a half. Brittany gets a little emotional. Of course, drinks are flowing, but she gets emotional because she's saying how Jax always kind of tears her down and gives her a hard time. And then we cut to a scene where Brittany is hungover in the backyard on coming out of the pool. And Jax is like, really? Why are you acting that way? She's like, you can't give me a hard time for feeling bad. And he's like, if you want more kids, you better start acting like a mom, because she was hungover. So this is obviously a recurring issue with them. She drinks too much. And even Janet said that. Did you guys notice that? Janet said, I'm going to be honest, Brittany does get too lit sometimes. So I'm curious about like what's really happening there. But Brittany, I guess, is getting too drunk and getting too hungover and is non-functioning as a human being afterwards. But honestly, if you're someone that's ever partied and drank, raise your hand if you've ever been hungover. Jax is probably the king of being hungover. Or if he's not, he's probably engaging in some pasta or doing something else to kind of get himself out of that hangover. Adderall, I do think that's a thing. I think a lot of people take stuff like that so that they don't feel the effects of like getting hungover, right? So she gets emotional talking about this. And meanwhile, we have the guys in the pool and they're talking about Jesse and Michelle's relationship, because that's what one does when you're in a relationship like Jax and Brittany's. You just focus on Jesse and Michelle's. And Jesse says straight up, you know, she tried to move out before. We're not doing so well. But the one thing that I would never stick by is cheating. The one thing. And meanwhile, something happens here. And this is the thing that I think will come up later in the season. But Luke, sneaky Luke, and his 32-year-old long penis, because we've heard that 7,000 times from Kristen, brings up that he knows something. He knows that something about Michelle. And I think that Michelle has cheated on Jesse. And I think he knows. And I think Kristen knows. And we don't know what's going on. We don't know exactly what's going on. Now, Mark says Michelle is shady. Someone else earlier, I think Leslie, said Janet is shady. I'm going to say something. I hate Jesse. Okay, Jesse is like really awful, but I'm going to say something really honestly. I can't handle Michelle. I know that that's going to sound mean because she's the one married to Jesse and she's the one married to, you know, but I truly don't think I can handle Michelle. Her energy, her behavior, her like approach to talk, everything just feels like she's like, I just want to wake her up. She just feels like a little bit low energy, right? It's just kind of like, I don't know exactly how I feel about my relationship. I want her to just be stronger. Something's off there. Something's off with Michelle. I don't like it. I don't like Michelle and Jesse at all. They can go. Their daughter is adorable, but they can go. Nia and Danny, give them all the awards. She is the best wife. She is the best mom. She opens up strongly about her postpartum. High-functioning depression is what she says. I've been there. That's exactly how I was after the birth of both my babies. I was 100% high-functioning. I was working out. I was working. I was kicking ass, and I was so depressed. So I felt for Michelle. I mean, for Nia. And Nia really opened up about it. And the way that Danny, her husband, kind of like took care of her when she was crying, he didn't make it about him. He didn't judge her. He didn't tell her what to do. He just listened. It was so, so cute and so sweet. And not to mention that Nia is quite possibly the prettiest person I've ever seen. Like, I just find her gorgeous, stunning. If I liked women, she would be the one. Yeah. She and Paige, both of them up there. So clearly Michelle has done something shady to Jesse, and we don't know yet. We will find out, of course, because Luke knows and he mentions it in his confessional. We don't exactly know what's happening, but Nia leaves. Brittany gets trashed beyond belief. So does everyone else. Everyone's getting hammered. And then, of course, we see them waking up at the beach, and the only one that's feeling okay really is Janet making eggs because she's pregnant. And Brittany can't function. She's throwing up left and right. She's, I guess, throwing up in the car on the way home. She can't drive. May I suggest, okay, Brittany, I know you're not asking, but may I suggest, if you want to party it up on girls' night, I'm not judging you for that at all. I think that's fine. There are things you can take, like hangover preparation tablets. Drink more water, Tori Spelling, okay? Drink more water. Take some of these, you know, before you go to bed tablets. Take some Tylenol before you go to sleep. Wake up in the morning, drink a liquid IV. Even if you need to get an IV, like, figure it out so that you're not so sick. Just saying. They end up coming back to the city. We see the whole Nia and Danny conversation, which is so sweet. We see a bullshit, you know, 2 seconds of Michelle playing with her daughter. And then, of course, Janet talking about how they can't get a humidifier because it's going to make everything sticky. Janet, that's not what a humidifier does. It was really weird. She was like, no, if you get a humidifier, everything's humid, which means it's sticky. Brittany and Jax have this conversation at night. They're putting their kid to bed and they come downstairs and they're sitting in their beautiful home. And Brittany is saying, you know, Jesse and Michelle really aren't good because Michelle doesn't even like him. And she's like, with you and I know we have our problems, but I love you. You're my best friend. Which made me feel really sad because what is happening there? Like, how did you go from being best friends to I'm moving out? Now, Jack says divorce is not in our world. The D word is off the table. We don't divorce in my family. It ain't happening, which makes me sad because divorce is actually not a bad thing when you need. And I've... One of my close friends, Olivia, she used to be a sponsor of this podcast. Shout out Olivia and her sister, Genevieve. They're the owners and the CEOs and the founders of a company called Fresh Starts Registry, which is basically a divorce registry. And they have a podcast and everything. I love them. But the point is that, you know, divorce is not necessarily a bad thing when you're married to the wrong person. What's worse is sticking together through all the bad. So I don't think Jax and Brittany are at a place, unless Jax is really horrendous. I think they can work through this if Jax wants to. But the fact is that she's like, we need to have more sex. Jax, where's date night? Jax, I need date night. I need to feel romantic. And what man? Please tell me, men. Please right now tell me. What man is sitting on a couch with his wife that's like, I need to have more sex? And the man saying, I know, we really got to do that. We should at some point. Lance, I would say, I need to have more. And Lance's like body would be on top of mine. I wouldn't even have the ability to finish saying, you know, when are we going to have, we would be having sex. Like Lance does not in any way F around. And most men don't. If a woman is like opening the door, they're in. Okay. There's no playing hard to get. Jax doesn't want to have sex with her. What's up with that? What's up with that? He's saying, I used to wait for the phone to ring and I was stressed out. Now the phone is ringing too much and I'm so busy and I'm stressed out. What's up with that? So that's kind of how the scene ends. We, of course, talk more about her drinking, whatever. And then, you know, Jesse and Michelle have a conversation about their relationship. And Michelle's like, you know, I'm not happy. I've told you this for a while. I'm not happy. I just don't know what to do. And Jesse's like, we're going to work on it. We're going to work on it. Well, from what we know, they've already broken up. They're not a good match. I don't want them together. Who is the director that she's shipping and hanging out with? There was the whole thing that she's hanging out with the director. They bleeped the name and they whited out the name. Like, that was the weirdest thing. They blocked his face. They bleeped. Like, you could not see who this director was. According to an Instagram account that I just saw a momentito ago, let me tell you. Face Reality 16 says 29 minutes ago, help me figure out which director Michelle has been hanging out with. It's a two-syllable name. Bravo and Cocktails has said, was it Bravo and Cocktails that said it? No, it wasn't. Who said something about Quentin Tarantino? Someone just posted something about Quentin Tarantino. Face Reality says, from what I can decipher, this person has a two-syllable name and it seems they're relatively well-known. I definitely have my guess. It rhymes with Mike Bones. Jones? Spike Jones? Spike Jones? Is that his name? You guys, what director rhymes with Mike Bones? I'm Googling Spike Jones. Isn't that his name? You guys, it's Spike Jones. I'm writing it. Hold on. It has to be. Sorry, I'm doing my Instagram with you guys. It has to be Spike Jones. Now, that is going to be interesting if we find out anything about that, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see. All right. Do you guys know who Spike Jones is? Let me show you. He is a director, a filmmaker, and an actor. This totally tracks. He's 54 years old. He was married to Sofia Coppola until 2003. I don't think he's married now. What has he done? Jackass, Where the Wild Things Are, Being John Malkovich, Her. This is him. This is the one. Yeah, 100%. We found it. That was not hard. Guys, literally, who needs Reddit? You got me. This is daily dose of, honestly, move over, Kristen Doty. I'm the new PI in town. All right, you guys, I love you. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate all of you dosers and those that just kind of come on through. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for subscribing. Bye.